And welcome to this, our last Sunday morning service of 2019. It's lovely to see everybody out, that they've survived the turkey. And it's good to see everyone here. Just anyone who is visiting with us is very welcome around in Solid Ground for a cup of tea or coffee after the service, where we get to know each other. That might scare some people off, but please come back, you know. And just a few announcements, The announcement sheet is handed out this morning. There's not as much on it as usual, but what's on it is important. Please take note of it. Particularly, I want to mention the Mission 2020. And next Sunday, the 5th of January, is the commissioning services, both here and in Clochy. And with that comes the distribution of the booklets for the mission. And just so that everyone's clear on it, in Clochy, the congregational meal is happening after the distribution of the booklets. So there's the service, the booklets will be distributed, and then there'll be a meal. Here in Grey Abbey, because of the time difference, it makes it sound like an international time difference, but we'll have the service, we'll have the meal, and then we'll go out and distribute the booklets. And can I ask anybody that is hoping to join with the meal and help with the distribution to sign up for that, please? Just it helps with the catering and particularly the planning of the distribution. Other announcements this week, TAP Trinity at Prayer is on Thursday night, the 2nd of January at 7:30. And I'll just point you to a few of the things that are in the announcements. We also have a sign up for the Wings lunch on the 7th of January. So ladies, get signed up for that. Again, it's important to have your name on the list for the food. Paddy is also looking for any old photographs. We're getting to a tight point now. If anyone has any photographs for the exhibition, please speak to Paddy about that. We'll love to see them. And again, at the start of the year, we're at that point where organisational accounts need to be finished up and submitted. And moving forward, there's also the opportunity now, the envelopes are there for collection or are being distributed. But there's also the opportunity to sign up for electronic giving or for giving by standing order. And if anyone's interested in that, please speak to any of the free will offering team. So that just leaves me now to extend a welcome. A welcome particularly to the Boyd family who are here for baptism this morning. And to Wallace Moore, who I don't think is in yet, but we'll carry on in faith that he will be. Right. Good. I'm very pleased to see you, Wallace. a warm welcome back to our pulpit here in Grey Abbey, and we look forward to what God has laid on your heart to share with us this morning. So down to business, and our call to worship this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And with that in our minds, we'll join together in our first praise, Cornerstone.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks that you are the one true God, that you are all-seeing, all-knowing, and all-powerful. We give thanks that you are the God who knows us in our innermost being, in our weakness and our fear, and who is willing to forgive us in our imperfect, sinful lives if we will approach you to seek that forgiveness. We confess that we always try to do things for ourselves and that we depend on our own strength and resources when we should look to you. We confess that our independence is a rejection of you and all that you've done for us. Forgive us, we pray. Lord, we confess that sometimes we ask of you, but we don't really seem to expect the answer. Forgive us for our lack of faith and teach us to ask all things in the sure and certain knowledge that you will provide everything that is in your will for us. We thank you that you have promised that if we ask, we shall receive. And we pray that we will each individually and as a church body rest in you, in the sure and certain knowledge that you care for each of us, that you want to bless us, and for us to be secure in your love for us and in your salvation. We give thanks that you want to bring us all, we give thanks that you want us to all bring our anxieties and worries and fears to you, because you are the one who will give us rest. Help us also to bring our joy to you, because you are the Father who loves us. Lord God, we ask that you will give us the words to share your love and your comfort with others. And we pray that you will help us to hold your gift of Jesus at the heart of our new year that lies ahead. Help us to take time to spend with you, and to take time to be genuinely still in your presence. Help us to be still and to open our hearts to you and what you are saying to us. We pray that you will speak to us each this morning, that you will speak to us through the baptism and through the words that Wallace will bring to us, as well as through the music and song with which we praise you. We ask these things in and through the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you here this morning. We're here this morning to worship God. We're here as normal, as we are every Sunday morning, but this morning is special. We have the Boyd family, and we have the second best dressed man in the house. You'll see that in a minute or two, why he's the second best dressed man. He's copying me. I had my waistcoat on first, but I have to say, when he dons his wee cap, he's definitely a little bit more cuter than I am, so just a wee bit more cuter than me. But we're going to baptize Christopher in a wee moment or two. But this morning we celebrate this sacrament of baptism. It's a sacrament, it's something holy. And in doing so, we believe the Holy Spirit turns up in a special way this morning. This is not simply just a naming ceremony. And what we do this morning, Christopher does not become all of a sudden a Christian. But in this sacrament, we are reminded of God's promise to us. A promise made away back in Genesis, and a promise that has never been broken, and a promise that continues to be delivered, revealed, applied to hundreds of generations. When Colin and Monica bring Christopher to the front, they will have the opportunity to make promises before God and before you, this congregation. And then you, this congregation, all of you who know and love the Lord, will have the opportunity to make a promise as well, because we are a family. Yes, we have the Boyd family with us at the front, but through faith in Christ, we are a family, and we will make promises together. There's certainly a lot of emphasis in the Bible about promise. And in the Presbyterian Church, we celebrate this emphasis of God's blessing and his promise to us. The biblical word is covenant, and we can trace it right through the scriptures, as I said, right the way back to Genesis. In Genesis 17, God makes a promise to Abraham. He says, I will establish my covenant, that's the promise, as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And Abraham was given a sign for this promise. And the sign was circumcision. The sign was to be administered to Abraham and all the men, and then their sons, and all who would come in to the Israelite nation, and to all the boys who were 8 days old. Genesis 17, verse 12. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. So on that day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and he circumcised them as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God commanded him. God, you see, in the Old Testament, is claiming a people. He is drawing a people to be his people. And he's drawing these adults and their children to himself, a people to be holy. But in that Old Testament covenant, there was always a pointing forward. Genesis 22:18, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you've obeyed me. And that is one single offspring, not through all of the offspring, but in the future there'll be one single offspring that will allow blessing to flow out to all people. That single offspring we know is Jesus, because Jesus tells us in Luke 22, in the same way after the supper he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Christ's blood was shed, we know, on the cross. And because his sacrifice was the last and the great sacrifice, there's no longer any requirement for blood to be shed in the sacrifice of circumcision. In the New Testament, Paul writes, in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Baptism is a new sign of God's promise. It replaces circumcision. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Peter, then, when he preaches the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord your God would call. In the book of Acts, we see the first believers, the first Christians. They were adults, and they were given the new covenant sign of baptism. But as you read through the Acts, it was for them and for their households. Just like the household of Abraham in Genesis, that first generation of adults and then their children. But now this new sign is not exclusively for males. It's for females as well. While the sign has changed, it remains simply that. It is simply a sign that God is doing something. It's not a ticket to heaven. Circumcision wasn't, and baptism isn't either. It is through our faith in Jesus Christ that we have hope of a resurrection to eternal life. It was by faith that Abraham acted in faith and was righteous in God's sight. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That reward is an eternity in heaven and God's presence with us every day until then. An inheritance that will never spoil or fade. An eternity in heaven in his holy presence. And this is the covenant promise that God pours out and reveals to those who believe and to their children. For we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that the children of believers are set apart as holy. That doesn't mean that they are saved, but there is something different, the Bible tells us, about the children of believers. Today, Christopher is a child of believing parent, and he is being handed a type of letter as such, with all of God's promises held within it. This baptism is a sign and a seal that those promises are his, should he one day place his faith in Jesus Christ. And our prayer is that in time, Christopher will indeed place his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He will crack open that letter, and he will know the personal richness of God's grace through Jesus Christ. As we approach this sacrament, we want to turn to God in prayer. I'm going to come down, and the family will come up and meet me at the front. But let's turn now to God in prayer. Lord, we worship you, and we give you thanks for salvation. Lord, we praise you for not leaving us in that sinful condition that we were in, separated from you. But we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and his work at Calvary. That work that makes salvation possible. And Lord, we know that salvation is a personal matter between each individual created person and you, Almighty God. But Lord, we also acknowledge that you desire to work out that salvation in groups of people, through our families, through congregations. And we thank you, Lord, for the covenant promises for those who believe, and for the promise to bless children of believing parents. Lord, we ask that you would indeed bless Christopher today. Thank you, Lord, for the faith that exists in his home. And we pray that with your help and guidance, Christopher will come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. So in accordance with God's purposes revealed in his covenant and the mind of the Spirit of Christ and the practice of the Church of Jesus Christ, the child of Colin and Monica Boyd is now presented for baptism. I'd like to invite you all, please, to stand. So we have a couple of questions for the parents, and then we have the question to the congregation. And the first question is this: in presenting Christopher Jonathan Boyd for baptism, do you profess your faith in God as your Creator and Father, in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit as your sanctifier and guide? And will you, by God's help, provide a Christian home and bring Christopher up in the worship and teaching of the church so that he may come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? Now to the congregation, for those who profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, do you, who in Christ's name receive this child into the fellowship of the church, promise by God's help to order the congregational life and witness that Christopher may grow up in the knowledge and love of God and be continuously surrounded by Christian example and influence? May the Lord give us all the grace to fulfill the promises that we have made today. Come on, wee man. How you going? Now, I've been warned. He likes a beard. Don't you? That's why I trimmed it up yesterday. I did. Christopher Jonathan Boyd, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain on you both now and forevermore. Yes. I could take him home, you know. Good man. Folks, we're going to sing the Aaronic blessing. My singing. There we go. Well done. Folks, let's give the family and this wee man a round of applause. You did really well. Now, if we remain standing, we're going to sing a hymn chosen by Monica. She had narrowed it down to three, and we talked about him. And this song is about the everlasting God. This is an everlasting promise, a promise for all generations. So we thought this was a perfect song for us to sing now.
Arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon our God. You reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope,
Wallace, you're very welcome, and I just want to take the opportunity. It's not very often that I get to be here whenever somebody else is preaching, to be able to sit with the church family and worship. So I'm just going to pray for Wallace before he comes to minister to us. So Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for Wallace, Lord, and we just pray for him. We pray for his family and for the stresses and strains that come upon families as we step up into training for the ordained ministry. And we just pray for him, Lord, in his studies, in his examinations, in his assignments. And Lord, we just thank you that he's here today with a word from you to share with us. Lord, may we be blessed through his ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Yeah, it's great to be back. No pressure with him being here, mind you. But yes, thank you for the warm welcome here in Gray Abbey this morning. And again, I know that you've been praying for our son as well, so thank you for that. He's doing really well. And one more course of chemo to go next week, hopefully. And things are looking good. So God's answering prayers there. We're here to read God's word. To read this morning from Psalm 142. It's this is a psalm of David, a time when he was in trouble, when he was in distress, and trapped in the cave. Okay, Psalm 142, this is God's word. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there's no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Amen. May God bless this reading to us. We continue in our worship as we again stand and sing My Lighthouse.
Failures, you won't walk out. Your great love. love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go. In the questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, and I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Oh, safe to shore. Oh, safe to shore. Oh, safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, and I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Oh, safe to shore. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, and I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Oh, safe to shore.
And the boys and girls, you go out to your children's church now. We're to continue in our worship this morning as we bring our tithes and our offerings. Gracious and loving Father, during this time of year, we are reminded of your gift to us and your Son, Jesus. And today we bow before you and bring our gifts of love, our worship, with grateful hearts. Father, we pray that these tithes and the offerings we have brought this morning, they might be used, Lord, in a mighty way to make your name known in this place and to the advancement of your kingdom. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. To come to God again in prayer as we bring our prayers this morning for others and those that are on our hearts. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you again this morning and pray with the many things that concern us are on our hearts. Lord, we praise that you are sovereign. You are over all things, and Therefore, we bring these prayers in confidence to you for our world and for those dear to us. Father, this morning we pray for the country of South Sudan. South Sudan is a young country yet wracked with political turmoil, faced with a fragile peace agreement in place. Father, there's poverty, there's poor economic prospects, there's continuing extreme weather conditions affecting everyone. And Father, we hear that 7.5 million people are expected to need aid this coming year in that land. But when we look at the abundance that we have and the blessings that we have, it's hard to take that in. Lord, we pray for your church in that land. Thank you for the faith of your people there. Thank you, Lord, for the joy they have in you and for the witness they are to many as they assist in aid work and as they work towards lasting peace. Lord, strengthen and encourage them. Bless them as they serve in your name. And Father, as we pray for peace initiatives in South Sudan, we pray too for our own land here. We thank you, Lord, for the relative peace we have, yet we know that it is so fragile. We pray for these coming weeks as talks between political parties continue. We ask that grace is shown. We ask that good governance is put back in place, governance that honors you and respects all. Lord, we pray especially for the wisdom among those in power over matters such as healthcare and education, other services. We pray for decisions and difficulties that will arise and with the abortion bill coming in. We pray for those impacted, things, whatever it may be, for mothers and families and doctors, care professionals, and those who will counsel and pastor. Lord, may we as your people show love and compassion in each circumstance. And Father, we give thanks that in you we can gain strength and assurance no matter what we are facing. Loving Father, we uphold before you our children and young people this morning as well, as they grow up facing challenges and changing society and changing attitudes. Lord, bless the families and parents and grandparents of our children as they seek to bring up and teach those in their care. Guide them each day, we pray. And gracious God, we bring before you the sick and those in need of comfort within this congregation and those dear to us. We bring the names before you in silence this morning. Lord, we know sickness and heartache and pain and loneliness never seems so far from each of us. It impacts on every family and every fellowship. Lord, you know what each person dear to us is going through, and we pray for comfort. We pray for healing. We pray for strength to cope. Lord, we pray for courage for those facing treatments or results in these coming days, or those anxiously sitting on long waiting lists, uncertain when or where they will be seen. And Father, this morning we pray too for our moderator, and we pray too for the minister here, Neil Stewart, and all ministers in your service. Lord, we know they've been busy over this last period. We pray to be able to enjoy time to relax, spend it with their families over these coming days, and share in fellowship with their church families. Father, we pray especially for ministers who are currently off sick or struggling to cope. May each one and all those who serve either in a paid capacity or voluntarily in your church be refreshed for the work in this coming year. We pray especially, Lord, for this congregation here in Grey Abbey and in Clocky as they embark on a year of mission. Lord, bless that work. Thank you, Lord, for the leadership and the vision of the leadership within this place. But Lord, for all those who witness for you each and every day, we pray that you bless that work that is done in your name. We pray these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. When you look at that psalm that we read earlier, Psalm 142, it's a psalm that spoke to me over the last period, but it's one that I think as we embark on a new year, embark in fact on a new decade, it's one that we can reflect on and learn from. But usually at this time of year is that when we start looking back and looking to see what has happened and we look to see the things that have taken place, And then we look forward to what lies ahead. I'm sure you see all the TV programs that do, and news articles that do a reflection of what's went on in the last year. Looked at the one yesterday from BBC Newsline from Northern Ireland and give you some of the top things that people have been looking at. Started off last January with bombs in Londonderry. Then there was other things like the open Gulf in Portrush. There was how many ATM machines stolen that they showed us all about. We had wonderful elections, didn't we? We had a couple winning the Euro Millions lottery. We had the murder of a journalist. There was good stories. There were bad stories. There's people that were happy and there's people that weren't. You know, when you look back in your past year or the past decade, I'm sure it's exactly the same. Many good things and happy moments, but also many things that cause you distress, many things that cause you to despair. And as you look forward into the future, perhaps you sometimes wonder, will it be any different? Can it be any different? Maybe you wonder, is our land going to be different? Is our church, how is it going to be impacted? What about our lives? You know, we are living, and we're told quite often we're living in uncertain days. You know, we watch the TV, they remind us of it. The dreaded B word, Brexit. Who's tired of hearing about Brexit? Well, there's only 33 more days to go, apparently. Maybe not. Or Stormont, 3 years since they last set. Then we have uncertainty over the future of government then. Impact, as I said, on health systems, education, infrastructure projects. Basically anything. No, none of this is new. Perhaps if you're old enough to remember the turn of the millennium, it's only 20 years ago. There was going to be chaos after that. Traffic lights weren't going to work. Airplanes were going to fall out of the sky. Uncertainty happened, yet none of it really came to fruition. You know, perhaps if you look closer at home, you have uncertainty in your own lives as well. Perhaps financial worries, credit card bills coming in, job security. Yes, maybe it's health that's causing you anxiety or your family. Perhaps even as a burden of a sin that has trapped you. Do you feel that you can do nothing about something that keeps coming back into your life and you just can't turn away from? You know, unfortunately, we do live in a broken and fallen world. We all have worries. We all have concerns. Often we feel helpless, weary, despair, no one to turn to. Perhaps even we come to the point where we say that no one cares. There's nothing can be done to lift this circle of despair. You know, another year is going to be more of the same. This morning, I want to tell you, it doesn't have to be like that. You know, if you're thinking like that this morning, look at this Psalm 142. David had similar experiences. If you have your Bibles this morning, look them up as we look through what David was facing, how he dealt with it, how we can apply that to our lives and the disciplines that we can maybe use and learn to help us. Because this morning I want to give you hope. I want to remind you this morning that we have a God who does care. We have a God who cares regardless of how uncertain you feel, how overwhelmed or how desperate you are. I want to assure you that we have a God that we can put our trust in. Psalm 147 was attributed to David. It goes with another one, Psalm 57. Both written at that time when he was alone, hiding in a cave, hiding from King Saul. This was before he was joined by any followers, so he was on his own. Saul hunting him down, wanting to kill him. You know, God had appointed David as the next king. David knew God's plans, yet in this moment, he wasn't in a good place. The outlook appeared bleak to him. He was trapped. He didn't know which way to turn. Yet when he'd done that, he turned to prayer. David turned to God in prayer. In fact, he cries out and he pleads for mercy. David's prayer is a heartfelt cry. He says, I cry aloud in verse 1. He says, he pours out his heart to the Lord. He spells out every one of his emotions, He offloads to God all the things on his mind. You know, David's not ashamed to call to God. He's not ashamed to say, these are the things that are troubling me. You know, he wants God to know the things that are worrying him, the things that are even physically affecting his life. Verse 3 and verse 6, we see that his worries are making him tired and making him weak. You know, David admits that his spirit is growing faint. He admits that his burdens are dragging him down and starting to overwhelm him. He has two complaints that perhaps we often have. Verse 3, the path before me is not easy. There are hidden dangers and uncertainty. And perhaps this morning as you look at 2020, that's the complaint you have. The path is unclear. Hidden dangers. David's other complaint is in verse 4. Look to my right, he says. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. You know, it's a sad verse to read. Eugene Peterson puts it in The Message. He says, there's not a soul who cares what happens. I'm up against it. No exit. Bereft. Left alone. That's where David was. You know, that's where many in this place, I'm sure this morning, or within our community, are today. They feel no one cares. They feel there is no hope at all for them. Yet we who are in Christ, we know that to be different. You know, as we begin to digest those things, this morning, is that a wake-up call to us as a church? Is that a wake-up call to each of us who profess the name of the Lord? You know, do we care enough to be in fervent prayer for them? Just like David was. Do we care enough to support those who are in distress? Do we care enough even for those that are within our community? You know, we read in Matthew's account of Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He brought his disciples along with him to keep watch and to pray. Yet he went back 3 times and he found his disciples not praying, but sleeping. Jesus at that time was left on his own. You know, when those within our church, within our community, look to the right, do they see a church and do they see people who care? Do they see people standing by their side praying and supporting and being active on their behalf? Or perhaps are we sleeping, oblivious even, and unconcerned to what is going on, oblivious to what's happening in people's lives? You know, there's this church, I know, and that's why they've embarked on the mission 2020, are concerned about that. But this verse, there's not a soul who cares what happens, has challenged me over these last number of months. Do I really care? Is it possible that my life and is it possible that all the things and issues in my life have become so self-centered, and so busy, that we have no time to care for others, no time to consider what other people have? You know, most likely it's not on purpose, but it's just happened. We've drifted into our own world. When we look up that verse in the ESV version, it says, no one cares for my soul. Again, do we care enough for the lost souls of our church and our community? I'm glad to hear that, yes, you do in this place. That is why you're embarking on the mission. Now, if we are concerned for others, we need to get into that discipline of praying for them. We need to get into the discipline of upholding each other in prayer, upholding our community in prayer. We need to be at someone's right-hand side pleading on their behalf. Because quite often they'll not be in a state to do that themselves. Definition of right-hand man, someone who helps, someone who supports you the most. You know, as well as praying, we can do practical things, befriend our neighbors, keep an eye on them, help those that are frightened to go out, call with them, do shopping, make a dinner, be available, encourage each other. What about the big things? Will we do it? What about lobbying those that are in power over the big issues, like we've talked about abortion, about peace, about the health service, about all the things happening in our world. You know, the new book from PCI called Considering Grace records the experiences of many affected by the Troubles. Yet it gives us mixed stories of how the church responded during those dark days. Some got great support, prayerful, practical support. Yet others got very little, and they felt no one cares. You know, as we go forward as a church, as we go forward as Christians, may that be our warning. May we be known, or not known as a people who don't care, but may we be known as a people who care. And may we be able to point others to a God who cares, a God that can be trusted. You know, don't be afraid to bring our complaints to God. Don't be afraid to be honest with God. Tell him what is worrying you this morning. Tell him the things that you're struggling with. Him. Let God know your fears and your weaknesses. Let God know the things that trouble you with our world. So say, David was not ashamed to beg for God to hear him. David was not ashamed to bring his desperate prayers before God. Neither should each of us. It's a good discipline to learn, to be open, to be honest with God. Yet while David done that, while David was in that place, we see that he had a confession of trust. Verses 3, 5, and 6. You know, often we bring our prayers and we cry to the Lord for help, yet we don't really believe what we're praying. We don't really trust God to make any difference. Yet we see David in verse 3, an example of his trust. He acknowledges, "It is you who watch over my way." David fully trusts in God. He knows that God knows all things. God knows what he is facing, the dangers that lie ahead for him. But David trusts in God and God's plan and God's will. He trusts that his ways will be worked out. He trusts that God will walk with him through that. That, this morning, is the good news for you to take hold of, that God is with you. No, David has that trust because he knows where his salvation will come from. Verse 5, "You are my refuge." David's trust is in no one else but the Lord. He's in that low place, yet he holds on that day and those days into the hope that God is his refuge. He proclaims it again in Psalm 57. He says, "I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose. He sends from heaven and saves me. God sends his love and his faithfulness." You know, this morning, remember, God cares deeply for you. The Lord can be counted on. Even if others around you can't be counted on, the Lord can. Like David, hold on to that promise. Hold on to that hope. You may know the story in John 5, where the man at the pool of Bethesda, first person into the pool after the angel stirred the water, would be healed. Yet Jesus spoke to a man who had been there 38 years. Because the man said, "I have no one to help me into the pool." And Jesus made a difference in his life that day. Jesus healed him and said, "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." Well, the Lord is the one we can rely on. The Lord is the one, when no one else we can turn to, that we can turn to and we can trust. Remember an example of that? I once was away on a trip to Turin, arrived late at night in the airport, jumped into the hire car, headed off to the hotel. Didn't have sat nav in those days. Starting to show me age. But I couldn't find the hotel, got lost. I got frustrated. I was going round and round and round in circles. No one to ask. Couldn't speak the language. No one to help. So only one thing I could do is saw some policemen on the street corner each time I went round. I had to rely upon them. I stopped. I expected help from them, and I got it. Broken English through the policeman who directed me to the hotel. You know, David was the same. David cried out to the Lord for help. Verse 6, "Rescue me," he said. Verse 7, "Set me free from my prison." David knew that God alone was his refuge. David knew that God alone was his Savior. He expected God to help. He knew he would. And David affirms that, Psalm 16. He says, I have set the Lord before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. You know, only if I had somebody at my right hand and you're in, I wouldn't have been stressed as much. But remember this morning that hope, Christ is at your right hand. Trust this morning in Jesus' saving grace. Take refuge in the shadow of his wings and be set free this morning from what your stresses are. How could David do that? Because he had an assurance. Verse 5. David's assurance was not only that the Lord was his refuge, but his portion, the land of the living. Now, David trusted his very life to the Lord. He depended on no one else and nothing else but the Lord. And that wee phrase, the land of the living, interesting phrase. It's used when the Israelites were entering the promised land. The promised land was often known as the land of the living. Each family, as they were about to enter, were given a portion of land as their inheritance to provide for them, all except one group, the Levites, because the Lord was their provision. The Lord was their portion. In other words, the Lord will provide all that they need. The Lord will sustain them as they trusted in him. And we can look through the Bible and see numerous references of God's provision and God's faithfulness. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Now this morning, as you look around and recognize the state our lives are in, as you recognize the state our community and our world is in, we acknowledge that we all need someone to free us from this mess. That one is Christ. Yet as we acknowledge the mess around us, we need to acknowledge the mess within each of our own lives as well. That mess is a mess of sin. Again, something we cannot deal with ourselves. Something that just won't sort itself out. Something that will bring us down. You know, each and every one of us are guilty of our sins. We're all in that same situation. And we all have the same answer, Jesus. How do we know that? Well, what have we been doing the last couple of days? We've been celebrating. Christ came into this world. Christ came into the midst of turmoil and the mess of this sinful world. Why? In order to make a difference. You know, this morning, be assured that Jesus is the one who cares. Jesus is the one who came and took the wrath of God on your behalf. Jesus is the only one that can free us. Jesus is the only one that can destroy that grip of sin in your life and in this world. You know, this morning, we can trust in God's provision. Our deliverance from sin is guaranteed. Our deliverance from our burdens and troubles, however, may not be just in our timing. But the Lord is faithful and just. The Lord will sustain us. You know, we have that hope, we have that assurance that when the Lord returns, he is going to establish a new earth and a new heaven. All our troubles will be no more. The things that trouble us now will not even be a memory. Promises that through the Isaiah in 65, verse 17. You know, what a day that's going to be for each person who loves the Lord when we no longer remember the struggles we're going through. But also what a day it's going to be through the assurance we have and faith in Jesus' death. When God no longer remembers your sins, they will be as far as the east is from the west. That is the God that we can rely on. That is the God that we can trust. Yet when we do that, when we look at David, there's one final thing that he done. He made a vow to praise the Lord. David vows to give God the glory, to give thanks and to worship the Lord. You know, even though he hasn't been delivered yet from his distress, he makes that vow in anticipation that God will answer. You know how often we are so quick to cry out to God, yet when God delivers, we're so slow to honor and praise him. You know, our needs should spring us into prayer, yet our deliverance should drive us to praise. another discipline or a habit for us to practice. You know, David's comments here are not only to praise the name of the Lord, but he says the righteous will gather around him because of God's goodness. David's confidence is completely changed. Look at the contrast in the earlier verses where no one cares for him. Now he says he will no longer be alone. You know, when we see when Jesus healed someone, they were sent to the temple to offer sacrifices and give thanks. They shared with them what had happened, what God or what Jesus had done in their life. You know, David is implying here, as he shares what God does, the righteous will gather with him and give thanks. You know, God's answered prayer to one person will have an impact on others as they see God's goodness and love. Will encourage his people to celebrate. Will encourage others to praise his name. It will give a renewed confidence that God hears, that God listens, God answers the prayers of his people. And that's the witness that we have when we see God change our lives. As others can see God's provision, as others can see God's saving power, as others see God's sustaining power in our lives. What a witness that is, that others will turn to him and praise him. And we are going to face uncertainty ahead, maybe in this next week, this next year or decade. Yet we are reminded in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, don't be afraid this morning to share your complaints or your concerns with God. No, God this morning has not abandoned you. He is your refuge. He is your portion. He will provide for your needs and will guide you through the paths that each of us are on. You know, as God's church today, we're also called to pray, to be a refuge and a portion to those in our fellowship and those in our community, called to point them to the true Savior. And it's something that we can do as you get involved in the mission. You know, let your community know where your faith lies as you give thanks and as this church gives thanks for the and praise and honor to the God as he deserves. Let's turn to him now in prayer. Loving Father, thank you for your word and how it speaks to us and the truths that you have revealed to us. Lord, thank you that we can be confident you are the God of hope. In a world when circumstances are unsettling, we thank you for peace and joy and knowledge that you love us. We thank you, Lord, that your gospel is true, that you care for us enough to die. Father, our refuge is in you, and you are in control of all things. Help us to put our trust in you, our trust that your righteous hand has a firm grip of us. You're fully with us. We are not on our own. Father, assure us in all our circumstances that you're at work for your glory and our good. Equip each and every one of us to become more like you, to love and to care our brothers and sisters, for those that you have placed in our lives. Father, thank you for a loving fellowship that you have placed us in. We give thanks and rejoice because of your goodness. In Jesus' merciful and mighty name we pray. Amen. Going to finish our service off as we reflect on that God that we trust. As we sing, he is the Lord and he reigns on high. And it reminds us, the second verse says, your gospel, O Lord, is the hope for our nation. It's the power of God for our salvation. That is the God that we are trusting this morning. We pray that he sends his power on us today. Let's stand and sing, he is the Lord.
He is the Lord, he reigns on high. He is the Lord. Spoke into the darkness, created the light. He is the Lord, who like unto him never ended in days. He is the Lord. He comes in power when we call on his name. He is the Lord. Show your power, O Lord our God. Show your power, O Lord our God, our God. Your gospel, O Lord, is the hope for our nation. You are the Lord. It's the power of God for our salvation. You are the Lord. We ask not for riches, but look to the cross. You are the Lord. And for our inheritance gave us the loss. You are the Lord. Show your power, O Lord our God. Show your power, O Lord our God. Send your power, O Lord our God. Send your power. On high, He is the Lord. Spoke into the darkness, created the light. He is the Lord. Who like unto Him never ending in days. He is the Lord. And He comes in power when we call on His name. He is the Lord. Show your power, O Lord our God. Send your power, O Lord our God. Send your power, O Lord our God. Send your power, O Lord, our God, our God.
And to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, present you before His glorious presence with without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.